to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the God has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robes of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. Our second reading comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, reading verses 16 to 24. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And today the anthem is actually a continuation of the Bible readings. It's next week's reading, but that's all right. We'll go for it. Let's hear the wonderful words of the Magnificat, which, as we remember, is the praise that burst out of Mary when she met Elizabeth, when she ran away for a bit. We'll talk more about that later.
Thank you.
So let us pray. Lord, as we pause in the busyness of this season, we pray for your life to break through. We pray that we may be ready for you. And we pray that we may seek you and find you in this time of sharing today. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Next slide, please. A couple of years ago, I was lucky enough to preside at the wedding of my cousin Callum and his bride Julia. Was it only last year? No, year before. Yeah, it was last year. I've already written 2023 off, sorry. Year and a half. It's still a year and a half ago. It was April. April last year. So that I'm right. Someone please note that down. I'll score one on the scoreboard. Did the wedding for this lovely couple, and we were lucky enough to have lunch with them at the family lunch, Christmas lunch yesterday, and they were sharing that after years of trying, Julia pregnant, but from 6 weeks has been suffering morning sickness, and now the kind name she has for that life growing within her is the gremlin. Because, oh, the parasite is the unkind one. Little Bub is now able to move and has managed to find a particular spot which freezes her back, and she has to be laid on her stomach for 20 minutes before she can move again for the pain. I didn't have the heart to tell her, said, get ready for 18 more years of this. You got yourself into this mess. Well, even a normal pregnancy is uncomfortable. New life does not come without cost. The life of the family is turned upside down because the focus goes from us to this new life and this new hope for a future that that life represents. It is one of the biggest changes in a family's life that can happen. And it's great to watch it happening around me in our family at the moment. Next slide. But this pregnancy, whose praise song we just heard so beautifully from the choir, was not a normal, comfortable 2020s pregnancy. In a time before modern medical care, in a time where the circumstances of this particular pregnancy were such that this young lady had to hide herself from those who knew her for her own safety and go and hide with relatives. Then from that mouth, we have this beautiful song. From that mouth, we have this wonderful outburst of joy and hope that there is a cost, but God is doing something beautiful. God is doing something new. I'm sure if I said to Julia, if I waved the magic wand, would it go away? Would you take it? And she'd go, no, we've been trying for this for years. It is worth the cost. Sadly, not all of them come to fruition. Sadly, not every family is blessed with children. And sadly, not every child has a full and happy life. But we see that hope and that joy. So we have... How do we catch that as a church? If we are called, like we spoke last week about, to be bearers of God into the world, How on earth are we meant to get ready for that? How on earth are we able to make ourselves worthy and ready for that work? I'll answer that in reverse order. We're never going to be worthy, but we can make ourselves ready, can't we? Little celebration, I ran my first 5 kilometres without walking. A week ago, I saw my physio on Friday. He says, good, now you can do it twice a week. They're unkind sods, aren't they? I thought that was an end point. It's only the beginning, apparently. He's going, now this is my plans for you from here. And I'm going, oh, you've been thinking about this. How do we prepare? And that's the thing, I want to be able to run around and play sport. And he says, well, you've got to be able to run for the time of the sport, and then you've got to be able to really run a bit as well. So he's working on me, a work in progress. Things that are worthwhile take time and they take energy. How can we prepare ourselves? Next slide, please, Mary. How can we prepare ourselves to be the ones who, in that word of the prophecy, prepare the way of the Lord? I cannot put Jesus Christ in the heart of any other human being. None of us can. But we can prepare them. We can help them be open to God. And how do we do that? Lucky we have this book called Bible, isn't it? And I'd like to spend some time for the practices. At the end of Paul's letters, there's always this exhortation section. He goes and he sorts out all the problems first. Well, actually, he goes and he says how much he likes them first, unless you're Galatians. Then he starts off and calls you foolish and puts you into shape from word one. But he starts out, builds that relationship, then says, what's gone wrong here? Deals with the problem. But at the end of his books, he always has this section on, this is what I'd like you to work on. This is how you can build yourself. This is how you can build up in godliness and holiness. Rejoice always. Sounds great in concept, doesn't it? Rejoice always. I can remember when I was a bush minister, I really used to look forward to the presbytery retreats because I got together with all the ministers who were much more experienced than me. I was in my first 5 years. And we could share our stories and we could encourage one another and we could think things through and we were a team. And when you're out in the bush and you're by yourself, it's great to be part of that team and you get together and you talk and you celebrate. And we come together in this retreat and they go, by the way, this is a silent retreat. And then they relented and said, you can talk about anything, but only about spiritual things and not about work. And in that mood, and I can say I was in a mood, I opened up my Bible for my morning scriptures, and what psalm did they have down to me but rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. So I wrote a rather angry reflection saying, I'm not going to rejoice in this. This is not fair. This is my time. And we got asked that evening, and we had an argument between a minister and this particular facilitator who told the minister he had to write poetry and he had to like poetry when he didn't like poetry. Don't you even like country music? No. Don't you even like the Psalms? No. So, yeah, it was one of those fun retreats. But we had to write a haiku, which is a very formalised Japanese form of poetry, and I probably absolutely destroyed it. But my poem ended up going in the facilitator's book. This is the day that the Lord has made. Oh, no refunds. To rejoice in the Lord is a choice and not always an easy one. Because, and I know for many people, and some people who'll be listening to this on the recordings, Christmas is not a fun season. Christmas is a season where people look at their lives and look at the happy people on TV and go, my life's not like that. Or look at the portrayal we have of a family gathered around a table and knowing that this year they're gathering around a table where there's an empty seat. Or if not an empty seat, a hole in their hearts. How do you rejoice in that? I got challenged to answer that this week by one of those people. I got challenged to answer that. I didn't get challenged to answer that by the family who's having a funeral here on Wednesday. Their attitude is, he loved Christmas, he's going to love all the light stuff around. But the answer is in that God is not disinterested in the suffering. God certainly didn't come into the Hallmark approved family structures or the aspirational projections of family that are put upon us by so many adverts. Jesus came into the messiness of life, and in part we know that by the time Jesus is active in ministry, his mother's a widow. Jesus knows grief. Jesus knows how hard families can be. Jesus entered into this reality of this life, and despite all that, loves us anyway. And in that hope that one day Jesus is going to sort it all out, and then the hope that Jesus is with us as we see to continue to live and thrive in this world, we may rejoice. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. That means listen, but don't take everything in. If you understand what I mean, listen for what God has to say. We had a retired minister, and no offence to the retired ministers or people around it, who was quite vocal in one of my in the congregation where I did my student learning. Like you've had some students here, we had a retired minister who, when the new minister and I got introduced, turned up in his dog collar and dressed in his dog collar pretty well every Sunday for the first 6 months to stamp his authority. And he had things to say about most things. And I can remember Peter Woodward, my supervisor, pulling me aside going, always listen to Bob. And I said, that's so hard, Peter. He says, yeah, 95% of it is pure take us back to the 1960s, but the other 5%'s God, and you need to listen for that bit. We need to listen for the Spirit in each other. We may not always agree. It may not always be helpful. But sometimes God slips through. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Next slide. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. Here we go back to this. This is the good news again, is we're not in this alone. The God of peace, the Holy Spirit, promises to dwell within us and strengthen us and allow us to live the way God wants us to live. And may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we've got to watch the Hallmark things on that. Sound and blameless may not be what we consider sound and blameless. One of the most powerful bits of theology I ever read was a disabled theologian that wrote, when Jesus rose again and showed us the perfection of God, there were still holes in his hand, holes in his feet and holes in his side, to say that the way of this world does not hold us back from God, that our disabilities and the things that we would think would disqualify us from God's love do not. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. And to that I say, Amen. So let's come with our prayer of yearning. Merciful God, we hear John's fervent cry, make straight the way of the Lord, but we don't know what we should do. Our lives carry on as they have before. Nothing seems to change. Yet we long to be caught in the ecstatic visions of prophets and mystics. We yearn to tune our ears to the heralds who testify to your light. Help us walk in the ways that lead to life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The God of peace sanctifies us, that our souls may be sound and blameless. The one who calls us is faithful. The one who saves fashions us for eternal life. Our sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God.